Most of you would be aware that a team of seven of us went to Mozambique for 3 weeks. We arrived back last week. Most of us are back in the right time zone now. And we had a really significant and wonderful time away. And this morning we've set aside time to let you know, I guess, as a church, some of the things that we saw God doing and how things are over in Mozambique. Mozambique is a place that as a church we've had association and connection with for over 23 years. Roz and Steve Lazar, who are directors of the Children's Centre that we went to visit, we were part of their sending church when they went out to become missionaries over there 23 years ago. And we've sent many teams over the years. And again, just over the last 2 years, we've had the opportunity to again start going a little bit more regularly post-COVID. But one of the things before, we've got a video to show you this morning of some of the experiences and testimonies of the team. And then Kit Woolley, who was one of the members of the team, is going to share more extensively with you this morning. We promise that it won't be a normal Mozambican four-hour service. But I'm just going to get the team to stand up. So Andy, you're here. Kit, Christelle, Sonia, are you here? Yep, Sonia's here. So, and myself. And then we have Mally, who is over in Perth, but should be joining us online. So you've just got to imagine her here. And then Andrew Mann, who is up in Queensland, where he and Christelle now live. But I just wanted you to eyeball who the team was. And we're just a bunch of ordinary people who saw God doing some beautiful and extraordinary things. The other thing I want to encourage you before we show the video and is we had an amazing experience, and we'll try and share things with you in a way that is meaningful for you. But one of the things I want to really encourage you in is we're not just imparting information. We did this, we saw that, this is how much money was spent on various things that we took with us overseas. Because one of the things that happens when, as a church, we send out a group of people, even though it was only seven of us, is that we are family. And so I'm really believing that some of the ripple effects, both for what's happened in our lives individually as a team, but also some of the deposits that God has really placed in us as a result of being away, they're not just for us, they're actually for us as a church body. And so I want to really encourage you this morning not to just listen and look with eyes of, oh, isn't that interesting? But actually, God, what are you saying to me? What are you stirring in my heart? What are you highlighting to me? Because he's got something for every single one of you here this morning in person and online that is a deposit of some of the things that we got to see and experience of him. In such a beautiful place as Mozambique. So the first thing we're going to do is show you a video, and then I'll get Kit up to share. Is that ready to go, Sarah? Great. I think if there was only one thing I could share, it would be to give witness to God's presence among the people of Mozambique. We did not see blind eyes open, or people raised from the dead. And there is and will continue to be an immense need in the country that is the sixth poorest in the world. But as we stood with people in prayer and worship, unable to speak their language, we witnessed time and time again God showing up. If we were only looking for the showy, for the big signs, we would have missed it. What we witnessed at the side of a garbage dump, in homes, in a prison, in schools and hospitals, at the centre, and in the community hall full of displaced people from the floods, and in local churches, was his loving presence ministering to people. We witnessed people's faces relax with peace, tears shed in joy and grief, shame lifted, deep gratitude and thanksgiving expressed. 200 teenagers stand in an assembly of their peers to ask God's help to deal with their anger. Altars packed full of people, and people
receiving the comfort, love, and acceptance that only He can give. It was a privilege to witness their openness and hunger, and His unending faithfulness and precious presence.
Being my second mission trip overseas, I went unexpected. I wanted to be available to God to do what He wanted me to do and have Him do in me what He wanted to. I mean, I would have loved to have just been with babies and toddlers all the time, but didn't want to limit God or myself. Plus, we did have things planned for our team by Steve and Ross. During a prayer for the base, I could almost visibly see the word hope over the top of the center, all around the boundaries and throughout the base. It is definitely a center of hope and love for the children in it and all those who are on the base. For almost a week and a half, I actually felt a little lost. Almost all of the rest of the team had something they'd been asked to do with certain people on the base in our free time or during the program. On a couple of days, I wandered a little aimlessly whilst they were occupied. There were also a couple of challenges within the first few days and week back from back home that had this mummy once again, like Cambodia, wanting to be home with my children and sorting things out. But once again, we had to hand over all that to God, trusting like always He had this. A special time for me, though, was the church service at Helaney, the garbage dump village. There were mostly children there, and after singing, dancing, handing out lollies and bread, we circled round and prayed for them, and they circled round our team and prayed for us. I felt little hands on my back, butt, legs and elbow, and heard little voices praying. I could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in them and wash over me. It had me in tears, feeling so humbled by these children praying for me, a complete stranger, and whom I couldn't understand their language. The ultimate highlight of the trip was witnessing a healing, mine. Those of you who know me know I've suffered chronic pain in my right hip and lower back for the last 11 years. I've had constant prayer for healing over that time. The flight over was not comfortable and aggravated the pain. Then I spent a few days towards the end of the trip during a conference at the centre, in a great deal of pain and not able to walk. Within the base, I had to be driven from the church to the visitor's centre, only a couple of hundred metres away. On Saturday morning, Louis Cabrel had spoken at the conference, and Herminio, one of the staff at the centre, made sure I came down the front for prayer for healing afterwards by putting a chair out for me. So, assisted by Catherine and Andrew, I was half carried down the front and sat, believing that it was my time for healing. I really felt this was my time, and there was something different in myself that day. I sat and was determined not to get up until I was healed. The more the pain persisted, the more I started feeling disheartened that nothing was changing and it wasn't disappearing. Eventually, Andrew and Catherine told me everyone else had moved back to their seats, the session was close to over, and I needed to move. By this stage, I was hyperventilating and could not have gotten up without passing out, so once again I was carried outside and I laid on a capilano on the ground to try and recover. I was given a word by a Brazilian long-term missionary there and then was carried to the car to be driven back to the visitor centre. I was laid on a mattress under a tree to rest. I woke up at one stage and limped to the bathroom. Afterwards, I laid back down for another hour and woke up to find Andrew sitting next to me. He asked me how I was. I said, fine. He said, define fine. I said, the pain in my lower back has gone. It's not there. I was able to dance and jump for joy and run down the veranda to Catherine. There is still niggling in my hip, but it will go. I trust God for that.
Bon dia, Vision family. My second visit to the Zimpeto Children's Centre came with a fair bit of intrigue and expectation of what God was going to do with and through our team. It did not take long for him to speak to me about some areas in my life that he wants me to work on. I've been known in the past to take on a lot of work and burdens that I don't need to, blaming myself for other people's decisions or feeling guilty for not being as good as someone else. God spoke to me through one of the team about taking off a backpack of burdens that were not mine to carry. Over the course of our time at the centre, I could recognise those burdens and remove them with the help of Jesus. God's timing was another lesson that I needed to learn. I know God is in control and that greater is He who is in me than in the world. But that did not stop my mind from trying to fix the issues that are around me in my time. Through God's grace, He showed up when His time was right. And when He did, I was blessed beyond my expectations. Whether it was the healing of Christelle's back pain, nudging my work colleagues to donate to help buy tools for the cafeteria, giving me words on the spot to share in front of prisoners or just hanging out with the kids, His timing was evident. There is something very special about visiting Mozambique and seeing the work God is doing through all the staff at Zimpeto. The hope that they have in Christ and the way they express it through worship and their generosity to others is something that we should all strive for. Whether they live next to a garbage dump scavenging for food and items to sell, have a home that is a safe place to grow up, or whether they are displaced by floods or have to spend hours in vehicles negotiating the at times chaotic traffic, they continue to worship with hearts grateful for what they have. Witnessing many getting baptized in the ocean, young and old, was just another example of the hope they have in Christ. The final piece of the puzzle for me was being confident in my God-given gifts and abilities, the wisdom God gives me when I need it, and not being envious of what others can do. Our journeys with God are personal and individual to see each of us. I am eternally grateful to God that there is nothing I can do that would make Him give up on me. I trust that He will continue to guide my steps, and we hope to one day return to Zimbabwe.
Good morning, Church. Thank you to Vision for permitting me to go to Mozambique. I was deeply touched by what was achieved at the care facility, the scale and size, how well run it is, the sense of love and hope in that place, how well adjusted the children appear to be, despite the traumatic circumstances so many have come from. Someone said that God has a heart for Mozambique. That certainly was my view when I left. I reconnected so deeply with the Lord during praise and worship. I was amazed at the extent of my emotion and deep connection with the little kids. Not just little ones, but the children from Mozambique, from the care facility. And it reminded me that I am an African at heart. I am truly grateful for people like Steve and Ross and some of the missionaries there that are prepared to sacrifice so much to make this world a better place. And that so many children have been given an opportunity to live a better and more well-adjusted life as a result of those sacrifices. I do encourage each and everyone, if you have the opportunity, to go and experience for yourself what life is all about in the face of such extreme poverty and challenges faced, and yet so much joy can be experienced in the midst of it. I
Isn't our God amazing? The song that you heard singing at the end there, that was with a group of really people who've been displaced from their homes from flooding, which happened in February, and their houses are still underwater with really no current hope of that water receding. And the song that they're singing there, we sang last time as well, we were there. It's a song in Shangana, which is the tribal language of the area that Maputo is in. And it's a song declaring that God has lifted them out of the dust. So the part that they're singing there is, he's brought me from here, he's raised me to here, he's lifted me here, and now I'm his. So that's what those people, even in the midst of, they were 80 people in one school hall, 49 families, and that was only just one of the communities that we got to visit who'd been displaced by the floods, and yet making this declaration about Jesus. And even though their physical position wasn't really any different, that they knew that they'd been raised to life in him. It was humbling. Humbling to see in the face of how much we have. I want to invite Kit up now to share with you, so would you make him welcome as he comes? And I'm just going to hand over to you. Thank you. Yep, you've got about another 2 hours.
Okay. That sounds funny, but one of the church services we went to went for 5.5 hours. They really take church seriously. Bom dia, igreja. Good morning, church, in Portuguese. My name's Kit, and I'm just going to share a little bit about what God showed me personally while we were in Mozambique. It's a little different to some of the normal things that we get coming back, but I felt God put this on my heart. So before we do that, let's just pray. Father, thank you for the message that you've given me, and I just pray that it would be your message, not mine, and that there would be something that touches every single person's heart here today and online. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would begin sweeping through our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Mozambique, the pastors generally start a sermon by going, "Hallelujah!" And the congregation responds with amen. And they keep going until they think the congregation is focused enough. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
That was pretty good. Before we left, the team got a verse from Isaiah 58, which I'm going to read to you. I'll just have to change angles because of my glasses. Is this not the fast which I chose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. And your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So we got that very early on when we started meeting together and we prayed into that. I was a bit uncertain as to what it would mean, whether it was about what would happen to us, what would happen through us, or what would happen in us. As it turns out, it was a bit of everything. Ros and Steve Lazar live and work in the Zimpeto Iris base. So Zimpeto is a suburb north of the city of Maputo, which is the capital of Mozambique. Maputo is approximately 90 kilometres from the border with South Africa, where we passed into the country. And it's the same latitude as Hervey Bay in Queensland, if that gives you a bit of an idea of the temperature. So even though it was their winter, it was not nearly as cold as here. So that was really good. As Catherine mentioned, Mozambique is the sixth poorest country in the world. So when you drive around and when you wander around, you see that poverty pretty much everywhere. And there are plenty of people every day who don't eat because there's just not enough food for them to eat, or they don't have the money to buy it, one of those two things. So our trip to Mozambique was all about God showing me his love in action. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die so that those who believe in him may have eternal life. The whole New Testament then goes on and expands on that and explains how much God loves us, that his love is sufficient for us, and that his love can do the impossible. While I have seen God do some amazing things in me and in others, I've always struggled with the verse that says God will be sufficient for me, because there have been many times when I prayed about something and nothing happened. And so I've struggled with that for quite a while. So what does it look like for God's love to meet all our needs and to do the impossible? So God showed me that in Mozambique, that it happens when people totally surrender to him, their whole life to him, and allow his love to transform them into his servants. We're all created to be in a relationship with God where we love him, rely on him, and are dependent on him. And then we can reflect his love to the world. In reality, how many of us are in this state, or indeed have seen someone living this way? Heidi Baker says, Heidi Baker's the founder with her husband of Iris Ministries, which is the banner under which the Zimpedo Centre sits. Heidi says, love has to look like something. I've heard the statement but not really understood it. My time on the Iris base showed me what this totally surrendered life looks like through the lives of various members of the base staff that I had the privilege of meeting. So let's meet some of them. Could we have slide one? So this is Ros and Steve Lazar, who many of you know. They were called to serve God a long time ago. I was actually hanging out with them the year they were called to serve overseas. They weren't initially clear what it was they were to do. Ros had always had a heart for babies and little kids. Steve didn't really know. They went on a preliminary trip to Mozambique to suss things out and see what it was like. When they came back, they spent quite a bit of time in prayer and decided they were being called to Mozambique to be the father and mother to the fatherless and the motherless. And there's a lot of those over in Mozambique. So they moved over to the Iris base in Zimpedo. Started slowly, following the Lord's leading, and the initial focus was on babies and small children. God slowly expanded the vision and it became a centre for children 0 to 18, with a focus of reintegrating children back into their families, if at all possible. In a lot of cases, the children had no parents and no relatives, so they were genuine orphans, and they stayed on the base. But the goal was to nurture them to spiritual, physical and emotional health, with a goal of one day reintegrating them into families or to equip them with skills and attributes to enable them to thrive and grow as adults in the community. This also required Ros and Steve to work with families in the community to prepare them for reintegration and equip them for life as a family. Over the many years and decades, they've developed the Zimpedo base to incorporate a range of buildings, and it's quite surprising how big it is. It's a 5-acre base and it currently includes accommodation blocks for boys and girls, including a dorm for disabled people, a house for particularly vulnerable young women who may not be able to live in the community because of disability or illness. There's a medical clinic that is open half a day a week to the public. There's a kinder to year 12 Christian school that has 1,600 students. Most of them are from the community. And Steve's vision is that that school will eventually be the engine room that drives the centre financially. But that's still a work in progress. There's accommodation for permanent and short-term missionaries that includes houses, apartments and sort of dormitory-style accommodation. There's a dining room to feed everyone who lives on the base. There's a transport team and a transport area that houses 15 vehicles. There's a mechanics workshop, a carpentry workshop, a maintenance team. There's a garden that provides food. There's an administration area and a Bible college. So it's fairly significant what they've achieved in the time they've been there. They started with a bit bare 5 acres with one or two buildings. In addition, they've established a youth transition project which takes young people who are 18 and over and helps them transition into the community. And they've set up some community houses so that people can make that transition. Sometimes the transition is successful and sometimes it's not, but they leave everybody in God's hands. But the result of their work over the last 23 years is that they've created a warm, loving, disciplined environment that allows people to heal at their own rate in God's loving arms. People are gently but firmly restored to be the people God created them to be. Steve and Ros have prayerfully selected Mozambican people to head up every area of the base, from the admin to the transport to the dormitories and to the school. Many of these leaders were children on the base once themselves, so they have an understanding of how the base works, but also how God has ministered to people on the base. So they can be fathers and mothers to those without family, continuing on the call that Ros and Steve first had. Much of Steve's time is devoted to teaching, training and mentoring these leaders so the work can continue well after they're gone. What I observed is that Ros and Steve are all things to all people all the time. All things to all people all the time. They remain within the parameters of their call and what they've been asked to do by God in Mozambique, and they're careful to guard against being pulled into other areas. But they give selflessly, gracefully, thoughtfully, prayerfully and lovingly. What they do is quite incredible, and it's totally impossible to do as a human being. I watched Steve stop to say hello to everyone he encountered. For those few seconds or minutes, his eyes were focused on them like a laser beam. They had his full attention. This included us with our simple, silly questions and concerns about small issues. He even apologised to me on the last day for a question I asked him on day one that he'd forgotten to answer. Steve and Ros receive phone calls, visits and have encounters 24/7. Their house is part motel, part restaurant, part worship centre and part home, for people to visit and feel welcome and safe. They show people what God is like through their actions. And God kept bringing me back to the Isaiah 58 passage. That's what they do. That's their life. And it's supernatural love of God that flows through them and to everyone that meets them. If they have to deliver a tough message, it's done prayerfully, thoughtfully and tenderly. They care for every individual they encounter. I cannot honestly say that I care for every individual I encounter. Can you? Do we show people what God is like through our actions? Do we care for each people we encounter? Each person, sorry. Are we sometimes snappy or angry or aggressive, sarcastic, or we just plain ignore them? In the Gospels, we see that Jesus took the time out to be with people. He stopped for the one, as Heidi Baker would say. In Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus talked to Zacchaeus and had a meal with him. That one encounter was enough to totally transform Zacchaeus' life. What impressions do you leave with people after one encounter? What if one encounter with us was enough to transform somebody today? So this call to follow Jesus is not without its costs. We read in Luke 18:18-30 about the rich young ruler who desperately wanted eternal life. He was unable to give up all his riches and follow Jesus. At the end of that passage, Jesus says, "What is impossible with man is possible with God. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left his house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. I can now say that I've seen that promise fulfilled in people's lives in Mozambique. They may not have earthly riches, but, oh, they've gone, but Ros and Steve have a far greater treasure. They walk with God as their friend, guide and mentor 24/7 and live in his loving arms. That is what sustains them through the good times and the bad times. It's what's enabled them to endure and to run the race he set before them over the last 24 years in Mozambique. During a quiet chat that I had with Steve, he said you can have a nice house, a nice car, all the trappings of the Western life and not be happy. He said he and Ros are happy and content deep within their souls. They know where they are meant to be and they're in God's plan for them. I called the Iris space the love bubble, that's just my word, because God's love has created an environment that encloses and envelops the whole Iris space, the whole 5 acres. It's able to restore and heal even the unimaginable, including abuse, domestic violence, beatings, neglect, rape, poverty and corruption. God is doing the impossible. And that's done through his love that is poured out through a group of people who then pour it out to the community. It's working because that's who he is. You can see his hope and joy on the faces you meet, and you saw hopefully some of that in the video that we showed you earlier. You can tangibly feel a different atmosphere when you walk onto the base from when you're outside. This love impacts everyone who spends time on the base, as I'll explain a little bit later. It dampens personal egos, reduces friction, and enables people to work through issues in a healthy manner. It doesn't mean there isn't conflict and there aren't arguments, but they seemed a lot softer and more considered than those in the broader community. Hope and joy abound. Referring back to Isaiah 58:6-12, Steve and Ros have fed the hungry, clothed the poor, given shelter to the homeless, often in their own home. The Lord has continually guided them, satisfied their desires and strengthened them, as it says in verse 11. The Lord has provided them with the energy to do the impossible, giving strength to their bones, and they are like the spring that never runs out, in verse 11. So if God can perform this miracle in Mozambique, he can perform it anywhere, even Canberra. Think about the implications of this. Could we have slide 2, please? So the next person I want to introduce you to is Tracy. She's the older lady on the left. She's a single lady in her 60s from Reading in England. She's a trained preschool teacher who previously had some time in Brazil as a missionary, but it wasn't her dream and it didn't feel right. So she went back to England for 10 years where she struggled with daily life and not really knowing what God wanted her to do. She was very frustrated. She was still attending church, but she didn't have any real joy and she didn't see a purpose in her life. But she was spending time with God each day and he gave her key scriptures that became pivotal in her life, like stepping stones. Some of them you're familiar with, Jeremiah 29:11, God having a plan for her life. Proverbs 3:5, she had to learn to trust in God. She had to learn to ask God questions when she didn't understand something he said or what he meant by something that he'd given her. She got to know God so she could rely on him and trust on him. God gave her hope, as in Romans 13:15. She learnt to let her hope become God's hope despite whatever circumstances she was in. While she didn't know it, God was slowly changing her life and her heart to be in a state that was ready to hear the call when it came. She heard about Iris Ministries and decided to visit Mozambique. She went just like we did on a short-term mission, and during that visit, God touched her heart and just flooded her with an amazing love for these kids. Amazing. She went home and prayed a lot, sought counsel and waited a while, and then she realised that her call was to Mozambique. She's been there 19 years. all the time in the nursery, working with 1 to 5 year old kids. Through all the ups and downs, she continually reflects on those key verses and reminds herself of them every day. While she's been in Mozambique, God's also expanded her key verses. What you do for the least of these, you do for me, Matthew 25. Pray continually, Thessalonians 5:17. Be honest with God. Tell him how you feel. That's okay. This one was really important for me and also to Andrew. Follow your call. Cheer others on in their call. Don't be jealous or chase after someone else's call. Focus on the plan God has for you and be content in it. Tracy has faithfully served looking after the little children for the last 19 years. She explained that she is content and trusts God and he is good. Tracy explained the missionary life is not a job, it's a lifestyle, her life. A lifestyle totally committed to God and whatever he has planned for her. She's totally surrendered to that plan and she focuses on him and his hopes when things aren't going well, which happens quite a bit over there. God's love is the foundation for everything she does and she tries to pass this love onto the children. Jesus is the only constant in many of the children's lives as there's lots of short-term missionaries coming and going. And her key task is to make sure they know that Jesus loved them. Several of the older children and a couple of the adults told me that without God's love, they would not be here today. It's that simple. They'd be dead. Tracy has chosen to tap into God's love and be hopeful, not hopeless. Hope is from God, comes from God, and once you choose hope, anything is possible. Taking on God's hope makes the impossible possible. So life is about making choices to hope, looking for the good in every situation and in every person, and trust God, even if it looks hopeless to human eyes. And she's often had children who are really, really sick that they've prayed over and been healed. So God is the God of the impossible. Tracy is another person who showed me what God is like through her actions. The stepping stones that God has given her have sustained her and helped her to endure and keep going. So we probably all have stepping stones. God reminded me of mine while I was over there. What about yours? What do your stepping stones tell you about your desires and God's plans for you? When are you most happy and deeply content in your soul? What is God's life? What is God's plan for your life? Can I encourage you to take some time to explore that if you don't know? Find out what your deep-seated dreams are. Talk about it with God. What's he saying to you? Could we have slide 3, please? So the next person I'd like to introduce you to is Albertina, who is the lady in the white T-shirt in the middle of us. She's a Mozambican and lives in the community and has her own family. She is the mum of Dorm 2, which is the dorm that this church has sponsored a renovation for and an oven and a range of other things. So we spent quite a bit of time with them. Each dormitory has a Mozambican mum or dad and several Tias and Tios, their aunts and uncles, who run the dorm, do the washing, do the cooking, make sure the kids get to school on time, supervise homework, all that sort of stuff. In addition to running Dorm 2, Albertina also helps coordinate the kitchen and the cooking of over 600 meals every day. Sometimes she has children that need extra love and care, so she has them into her home. She was one of the powerhouses of the centre that I observed. She wore a big smile every time I saw her and was enthusiastic about everything, from learning about composting, which they haven't been able to get going, to how to cook pancakes, to how to play the memory card game. She had a smile on her face and God's love and joy just poured out from her and in some instances just enveloped and swamped you. Again, the ability to run several households, love each person and be joyful, I don't think is humanly possible. Her total surrender and reliance on God and his love empowers her to do the impossible for the family and the boys in her care. Albertina's life reflects Isaiah 58 As she devotes herself to the care of those in need, her light has shone. She's literally that well that never runs dry, that is mentioned in verse 11. She shows the boys in dorm too what God is like on a daily basis and pours her love into them as well as her own family. Could we have slide 4, please? So this is Emilio. Emilio is the carpenter for the base. He's in his somewhere in his late 30s to early 40s, we think. He's got a family off base. He has an aquaculture business and an agricultural business in his family as well. He spends all of his time creating things for the base. Pews, pulpits and gear stands for the church, cupboards for bedrooms, benches and tables for dining rooms, and there's a lot of those. Lounge-type chairs and other furniture for houses. Emilio wasn't the most educated man on the base, but he had a beaming smile like a headlight that caught everything in its path. He was always joyful and happy to see you. His thanks for the new tools were effusive and continual. His ability to manage the various components of his life is phenomenal. He's on the base most days working in the workshop or out talking with staff about what they need from a woodworking point of view. He also runs a family business and he has a family that he takes care of as well. Dare I say, not humanly possible, but supernatural. Yet God's love and joy pour from him and embrace you even before you get to him, whether you want it or not. As Tracy said to us, embrace the call and don't chase others' calls. Emilio is an example of that. And he's happy, content and full of joy for the Lord. The final group of people that I wanted to introduce you to are people serving as short-term missionaries. So they come from a variety of countries, have different educational and cultural backgrounds, and they're predominantly under 30. And the sorts of things they do are they assist in the dormitories, they assist with the hospitality, they assist in worship, in admin, maintenance and transport. Could we have slide 5, please? So this is Caruso. He's from Kansas City in the US and one of 10 kids. He's about 21. He works in the dorm with Albertina, the hospitality team and the worship team. The hospitality team is responsible for the visitors area where we stayed and making sure everything goes well. They help plan visitors' itineraries, fix things when they go wrong, and are basically there just to help us out if we need something. Caruso has been on the base about 9 months, and in that time he's been able to learn pretty good Portuguese. People say kids are generally a very good judge of character. Well, based on that, he's got a good one because the kids of Dorm 2 just love him and will run into his arms whenever they see him. And he's able to get them to do things they don't want to do, like chores. He faithfully helps the worship team with the sound gear, which can be quite a bit of a onus. And he plays the guitar in the worship team. He's always willing to listen to help and make our experience the best it could be. He was always thoughtful and considered and blessed me immensely with the grace he showed during our chats. I had quite a few chats with him about what he wanted to do. He shared his life story with me freely and he was eager to hear how God had worked in all of our lives. He believes he's called to the mission field and ministering to people in need. He is humble, has a servant heart and a genuine care for people in need. I can see already that the Lord's work has begun in his heart and that Isaiah 58 transformation is occurring. Could we go to slide 6, please? So this is Enrica. She's about 25. She's a South African. She's been on the base for 2 to 3 years. She also works in Dorm 2 with Albertina. She is energetic, always smiling, and totally focused on what God wants her to do. An example of that was there was a conference on the last 2 days. A Mozambican man sat down next to her, started chatting her up and wanted to dance. She politely said no and explained she was there for the children, not herself, and moved away. She's pouring her love out on the 11 to 13-year-old boys, visitors and others. She knows what God's plan is for her life and she's following it. Could we go to slide 7? This is the last person. This is Sarah. She's the one in the pink dress in the middle. We went to a soccer game and this is a photo from the soccer game. Sarah is 19. She's from Toronto Airport Christian Church in Canada. She's only been on the base 3 months. Why I wanted to talk about her was she's only been there 3 months working with the girls in the dorms and the hospitality team. But after 3 months, I can already see the influence of God's love bubble and his love doing its work. She's alive, has the joy of the Lord, and is loving what she does. Her heart is full of compassion for the girls she works for, and every time I chatted with her, she had that look in her eyes of somebody who knew Jesus personally and walked with him daily. She was also brimming with love and concern for everyone she met. Again, an amazing supernatural love in someone so young. So God showed me what it was like for his love to meet all our needs and to do the impossible while I was over there. It only happens when people totally surrender, and that's their whole life. And then his love can transform them into his servants. We were created in a relationship with God to love him, to rely on him and be dependent on him. Whoa, I have the wrong page. Hang on a tick. So all the people that I've mentioned are ordinary people from ordinary walks of life, just like us. They've totally surrendered to Jesus and allowed his supernatural love to transform them. This love has enabled them to serve and allow them to serve others, just as Jesus did, just as he did when he hung on that cross for us. And this supernatural love can only come from the Father. So what does God's love in action look like for you? If you don't know, maybe you could spend some time finding out. It has to look like something or else it can't impact people. It's unique for each one of us, different but God-ordained and God-sourced. 1 John 4:19 tells us we can love because he first loved us. God has a plan for each of us. God has placed a dream in our hearts, no matter how buried or how hidden it might be. Our dreams are generally part of God's plan for our life. It may be hidden under your personality, your job, emotions, family. It may be tarnished. It may be dented. It may be even in 1,000 pieces. God can restore it. If you ask him, he will dig it up, clean it out, and then in prayer and meditation, show you the way forward. God can restore it and bring it to life. I just wanted to share a little bit about what happened to me personally while I was there. Some of you may know that for the last 5 years I've been really sick. When the Mozambique team was first announced in church, I had a collapsed lung. But I've been wanting to go for 25 years. So I said to God, am I going to go this time? And he said, yes, emphatically. So I put my name forward. My collapsed lung cleared up and I got a really bad chest infection and that lingering cough that many of you will know. So I wasn't sure whether I would go. I went to the doctor 3 days before we left to get a medical clearance and she hummed and hawed and in the end said yes. So that was a real blessing. When I got there, I had energy that I haven't had in 5 years. I was able to do pretty much everything except a couple of activities I chose not to do because of smoke and that would have affected my lungs. So that was an amazing gift from God that I was able to do all the things that I was able to do. The other thing that happened while I was there, we were having a team prayer time and I've had quite bad pain in my neck and shoulders for a long, long time. And as we were praying, I just had a vision of a creature with its talons digging into my shoulders, sitting on my shoulders, and then it got up and left. And Christelle also sensed it in the spirit and shoot it out the door, and I physically saw it fly away. So that was pretty cool, and I feel a lot freer than I did before, and I don't have any pain in my neck or shoulders. So that was something God did for me while I was away. So in terms of where you're at and where you're heading, spend some time with God to find out what he wants you to do. Dust off that dream, dust off that plan that may have been diverted or forgotten. I know a couple of times God has asked me, are you able to give me your whole life? And I've tried a couple of times and failed for various reasons, external factors, fear, not being able to use the tools God has given me properly, and laziness. So they're some of the things that have got in the way for me in the past. Hopefully they won't for you. If you need counsel, seek advice. Get prayer, guidance from our three lovely pastors, or trusted friends, or if you have a spiritual mum and dad, speak to them. If you need encouragement or confidence, and you want to seek confirmation about something God has told you, I would really encourage you to go and do something for God, whether it's a camp or a retreat where you just spend time with God, or a mission trip, or something that's relevant to your dream. Because I can guarantee you, in my life, every time I've given God more than a week, he has always showed up and done something amazing. Always. And you'll know when you're in God's plan, because you'll start to see the fruit from Galatians 5:22 and from Isaiah 58 start to come to fruition in your life. You'll feel that supernatural love that only the Father can give, and it's so different to human love. That love equips, empowers, gives you energy that you never had before, and you can carry out the plans he has for you. As Steve said, you'll feel happy and content in your soul, even if it's really hard work. God showed me the Isaiah 58 passage in action in the lives of the team members that I've talked about. I also experienced healing and release that are also mentioned in Isaiah 58. The overwhelming memory of Mozambique for me is that God's love is amazing, powerful, and can totally transform lives. When people surrender to his plan for their lives, their actions demonstrate God's love to others. They have a hope and a joy that is infectious and blesses others. So I pray God will show you what he wants your love to look like, that you are able to surrender and go on the journey with him, and I pray that you'll be blessed and that you bless others. If you'd like prayer about this or anything else that God might have talked to you about today, the prayer team will be available after the service. And I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity to share. Amen, and God bless this week. Thank you.